Page number one.
Flooding in that boy.
I wonder why. Number one. Let's all stand.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for that good message and song. Truly, that will be a wonderful day when the Lord comes and takes us home, and the things that we've done and talked talk to him in prayer. Spiritually, we shall see him face to face one day, so that's a glorious thing to behold. Truly. All right, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. It's been a long time since we've been in Ecclesiastes. So that's where we're going to go, chapter 9. If you have not gotten already, we have some free copies of the Sword of the Lord up here on the offertory table. So if you want a copy of that, there's some good reading in there. If you'd like to get that, that's free of charge. It's being sent to us. Well, I say free of charge, it's not costing us anything, but it's costing somebody. So if you would like to get a copy of that, be sure and do so. Now, we appreciate your prayers. The last week and a half has been a whirlwind for us. We had a good Bible school at Rehoboth Baptist Church down in Greensboro with Pastor Andy Gardner. We had a good Bible school there. Then this past Sunday, I preached at for Dr. Petrillo. You remember him. He's preached at times for us when he comes up here to Liberty, and so preached in his church. They have broken ground on their new church. They have a beautiful, beautiful facility that they think they're going to be in by September. 400-seat auditorium, if you can believe that. And they're having right now in the auditorium that they're meeting in, they're having two services in the morning, an 8:30 service and an 11 o'clock service. And then they'll be merging that together. And so it's just exciting to see the Lord doing things. And it was a blessing just to see that sanctuary already half done. And so just a blessing. Now, we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support during these last few weeks. As I said the last time I was here, this Sunday we're going to be providing the church a lunch. Now, it's not going to be a full-blown thing, okay? Here's going to be the menu. This is what we're going to have. And we'll do our best to make this palatable for all people, okay? But we're going to have Sloppy Joes, and then we're going to have some chips, and then for dessert, we're going to have big old honking watermelon. And so I said it's going to be simple, but we hope it'll be so that you can eat it. We'll try to make sure that it doesn't disagree with people's diverticulitis, hernia, ulcers, D, all of the above. Okay? And so that'll be Sunday. So if you want to bring something, you're welcome to do it. But that's what we're going to be providing. And so I hope you'll be able to stay for the fellowship Sunday. That's just Sister Moore and Bethany and our way of saying thank you for letting us do, if you will, home mission work this past month. Okay. All right, so we'll look forward to that. We appreciate that. Also, I would like for the ladies maybe to start talking about our vacation Bible school. We need to set a date. We need to start making some plans of what we're going to do. So, you know, kind of talk a little bit. What I'm thinking, I'd like for us to do basically what we did last year, but I'd like to add one or two things. I'd like to see if maybe we could get something like Brother Julius had, maybe some kind of blow-up, get toy or whatever for the young people. Whatever we decide to do, crafts, whatever, we're going to make sure we want to get out a flyer early and advertise everything we're going to have. Put that out there. And what I want to do also is, I mentioned this to you, I want us to change it. I don't want us to call it a vacation Bible school. I want us to call it a kids Bible blast. Just sometimes you got to think outside the box. And so it'll still be vacation Bible school. We're just going to repackage it for the day. And so I'm thinking, we also have to decide on a date. I'm thinking, honestly, to be honest with you, I'm thinking about either I don't have a calendar, somebody got a calendar. I'm figuring there's only, how many Saturdays are there in August? Are there four? I'm leaning toward, if people scare you, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm leaning toward either the third or fourth Saturday. Even with school starting, what I found through the years, the kids are ready to get back in a routine and they want one last fling before school starts. And sometimes you have Bible schools that are just constantly competing with each other. And so I'm thinking, so if you'll check your calendars and let's discuss and see either the, maybe the third or fourth Saturday. Yes?
We don't need to have it.
Yeah, that may be toward the first of August, though. We can check on that. All right, so keep those things in mind, if you will. And like I said, ladies, maybe discuss some things, and we need to probably start, get our plans together, see what we're going to do, and start getting flyers done early. And then maybe we can go out one Saturday, and some of the folks, we can do some visitation and pass out flyers like we did last year. So keep those things in mind for the month of August, if you will, please. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to start reading with verse 7. I'm going to read three sections. Finish chapter 7 tonight. Because chapter 7, I want you to see in these last, we've covered almost half of it. And let's look in verse 7. Or is it verse? Yes, verse 7 is where I want to start. And then what I want to do is I want to share three simple things that Solomon has to say to us. Okay? And the key word here is simple. And I want to talk about that in a minute also. Let's start with verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now we've talked about some of these things the last time that we were there, but I want to look at this just for a second with a different slant to it. Look at some simple things. I like simplicity. I am not the kind of person that loves to get into the complications and that type of thing. My mind never went into chemistry and biology and all of those intricate things. I was never geared in that way. But there are some people that love that stuff. They are very good at it. They're very excellent at it. Not me. I like simplicity. It's a good thing. Okay? And yet, have you ever thought about how this is not a word, but I'm going to coin this word. Things are unsimple today. Have you ever thought about how unsimple things are? For instance, a few years ago, long before computers ever got here, people started getting very busy with life. But there was a day, maybe 75, 80 years ago, where people enjoyed a simple lifestyle. Have you noticed when you go up and down a house, go up and down a road in a neighborhood, there's two things, if you'll pay attention to these things. In the average neighborhood, you don't see children playing like you used to. Second thing you notice is the fact that people, when they build houses, that they take their decks or their porches. I think I'm gonna let Cletus right there preach a while. He's working pretty hard there, so I'm going to let him do some preaching in a minute. But if you'll notice, when people build houses now, they used to have their porches on the front of the house. Now they build them on the back of the house. And the reason they build them on the back of the house is because they don't want anybody to bother. They used to sit on the front porch in a rocking chair and holler across the street at everybody and talk. You know, Mrs. Jones, how's your son doing? Or that kind of, but now people don't want that. Average person does not know their neighbor. Average house does not know. Not only do they not know their neighbor, they don't want to. And not only do I not know my neighbor doesn't want to know me. Okay? That's why I shared with you one time how that, when Bethany was young growing up, we used to go and do trick-or-treating. That way we were able to give a gospel witness to every person in our neighborhood. Because other than that, people don't. We know some people in our neighborhood, but by and large, people kind of are standoffish. And they put their hand up and they don't want to get to know. All right? Things have changed. Now, let's leave the days where people have gone on the front porch, and now let's move it, step it up, and people start getting busy, and their jobs are getting more difficult, and they've got more to do. Now let's move a little farther, and now institute the world of computer technology. And now people are just so into the computer thing. Now let's move up to where we are now. Now we have computers, cell phones, iPods, iPads, I don't know what else. And if you walk, my wife said somebody went in the doctor's office the other day and said they sat down and said there was no talking in the whole waiting room. Everybody. What did I do with that thing? I left it over there. The cell phone, they had it out and all of them are texting. You know, used to be you'd sit down in a doctor's office and start a conversation with a perfect stranger. Now it's like, you know, and that's everywhere. And then you get young people, and they got their laptops, and always on their laptop, always on their laptop, like, you know. And it's like, okay, one or two ways to look at it. Number one is, oh, well, maybe they're getting something accomplished. They're making a good, you know, thing on their time, or maybe they're bored out of their gourd and they just don't want, you know, and so they're into that thing. And it's like, okay, this is not a simple world we're living in. Not simple. I don't work in that kind of environment. There are people who work in office and they have cubicles and they've got their computers and some of that stuff is rough. You know, because in some of those, and what I mean by that is that some people have liberty. What's bad is that today, you can get away with pulling porno up on those computers. But if you pull something up about Jesus Christ, you can get fired for it. That's a proven fact. Shouldn't be that way. I mean, you'd think the day comes if somebody was to pull porno up on a, you know, used to be the day when people would go and buy porno magazines in the convenience stores. You were caught with that, you'd automatically be sent home. It's the other way around. They've got the freedom to do the porno, but if they say something about Jesus Christ or the Bible, they can lose their job over that. We're living in a strange world. Now, I said all that to say this. What's he talking about? First thing he says here is we need to just learn to live a simple life. I mean, you look at what he says just quickly. He said, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart. God now accepteth thy works. Thy garments be always white. Thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife of whom thou... And just goes on into verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth do, do it with all thy might. What's he saying? I mean, what's complicated about that? There's nothing complicated. That's living a simple life. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with just living a simple life? You know? I mean, it's just something good about simplicity. You get, if you're not careful, you get caught up in this thing where you've got all these things. You've got umpteen hundred things going. And it's like I tell people all the time, if I had a brain, I'd be dangerous. Because I get so caught up in things and everything, and I'm like, I'm beginning of Alzheimer's because of the way I forget things. But I was listening to a study in which they said that it's actually, if this is true, we can all take comfort that there are going to be times where you are going to forget things because your mind is actually going through a deleting process and that some of that information is being sorted out of your mind. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm not so bad after all if I can't remember everything. And it's impossible. You can't remember everything you've ever studied. You can't remember everything you've ever read. And I get frustrated because I'll have perfect strangers come up and they'll say, well, you're a preacher, tell me this. And it's like, I am not a walking Bible concordance. You know, there are just some things you can't readily pull out of your brain like that, and sometimes you got to go refresh the brain. It was that way. But you know what? We get into this thing where we've got this to do, this to do, this to do. How about just a simple life? How about just some simplicity? And there's nothing wrong with living a simple life. Just go in your house, enjoy some leisurely time, enjoy sitting on the porch and rocking, I mean, you know, just enjoy that. There's nothing wrong with living a simple life. It's a good thing. It's all right. And you're not outmoded or outdated if you feel that way. It's okay to do that. All right? Because guess what? We have lost the art of conversation. And we just don't talk. Okay? It's good to talk. It's good to have conversation. And it's good to fellowship. And it's good to live a simple life. That's what he's talking about. Now let's look at the second simple thing he talks about. Look in verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Here's a second simple thing he's talking about. Number one, live a simple life. Number two, learn simply to depend upon God. Now, if you look at the things that he's talking about there, the things he's talking about, you and I have no control over. Okay? I returned and saw under the sun the race is not to the swift, and the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Now, you can take any one of those and talk about it. Okay? Have you ever watched a sporting movie? The Olympics? Whatever. You have a favorite sport you like to watch. Do you ever have somebody, whether it's a team sport or an individual sport, that you watch and you say, I'm rooting for so-and-so? Now, I'm going to tell you what, I'm terrible about this. I root for the underdog. Whoever I see looks like they're going to be the underdog, I root for them because I just feel sorry for the underdog. But have you ever noticed that sometimes the one that you think is going to lose turns out to be the superior athlete? And you're thinking, wait a minute, they don't have the physical cut, they don't have the seeming ability that this other one has. But you know something? Somebody can always have an off day. The person that's the superior athlete can have a headache, can have just gotten out of the flu. Okay? You can't guarantee always that something's going to happen. I guess horse racing is a good example of that. I've never bet on a horse in my life, but I've heard so many stories of people, and they say, oh, so-and-so's going to win, and they're going to get this, and the stakes are high, and you better put your money. You know, a lot of times that doesn't happen. A lot of times they don't win. Everybody has an off day. Nobody can predict the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It's just this. You don't know when something's going to happen to you physically. You don't know when you're going to have to go to the doctor to get a bad report. You don't know if something's going to happen, you get a pink slip. You just don't know. But you know what it is saying? There is one thing you can know. Depend on God. Depend on God. He's the only one that's going to take you through the troubles. Sometimes I do believe that the Lord allows us to go through certain things so that we will learn to depend on Him. Because if I have all my needs met and I don't have any problems, guess what? Then I'm not going to pray and I'm not going to seek Him and I'm not going to look to Him and I'm not going to depend on Him. But for all the calamities that He's talking about, verse 12, what is it? For man also knoweth not his time. You and I don't know when we're leaving. It is a sad thing. We need to pray for Miss Jackie's stepson, 20 years old. Old saying is, who'd have thunk it? See? You can expect something to happen if you have somebody 85 years of age on a life support system. But something happens and 20-year-old's in the hospital. Don't know if they're going to live. Man doesn't know his day. So what does that mean? I need to depend on God. And a 20-year-old needs to live for God just as much as an 85-year-old does. So there's a certain simplicity about that. What does that mean? That means every morning I need to get up no matter what. And I say, now, Lord, I don't know what today is got in store for me, but what does the old song say? I do not know who holds what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. And that's true. We need to start every day and we say, now, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I need you. I'm depending on you. You've got to help me. We should not take for granted the fact that, you know, our jobs are always going to be intact. We should not always take for granted that a tornado is not going to come through and rip our house apart. Flooding is going to come through like it did up. We went, when Bethany was about 4 years old, I think, we went up and I resigned the church in Patrick Springs, and we took a two-month trip. We went down to Florida, Tennessee, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Canada, cut back into Minnesota, and then back home. For 2 months, we had back-to-back meetings for 6 weeks. We saw some strange things. We went up into Minot, North Dakota. If you watch the news, Minot is having tremendous flooding right now. You've also heard about Joplin, Missouri. When we went through there in 1993, I believe. We were being followed by a storm, literally. We were going to stop off somewhere, and we decided, we got to listening to the news. When we got into Missouri, we heard so much on the radio about that. We saw lightning that literally looked like it was choreographed in a dance. And the storm was coming. And they said on the news that basically, if we didn't keep going, we were going to get flooded and not be able to get to our destination. We drove all night long, listened to the radio, and the radio sure enough said that I think it was St. Joseph's, Missouri, the roads were flooded. We had just left that area an hour previously. The roads were flooded. The interstate was flooded. And so we were glad we went on because we had to get to Nebraska. I think it was Lincoln, Nebraska? Anyway, up in that area, and we had to get there. And so that storm was right behind us. We got to Nebraska at 8 o'clock in the morning. There was a huge river, and we crossed the bridge. And you've seen those ferry boats, those old-time ferry boats or showboats. They use them now for gambling. The storm or the flooding had gotten so bad that the waters had raised one of those gambling showboats onto the side of the bank of the river, and then it started to recede, and the boat was there sideways where it had been lifted up. You know, I looked at that and I said, Lord, thank you. We could have had a serious accident. We could have gotten flooded. We could have gotten killed. And the Lord kept his hand on us and blessed us and helped us through that fiasco. But it was some tense sailing through that whole time. Bethany was 4 years old. Bless God. She didn't realize the storm we were in because she was in the back seat and she was sleeping. Thank God she was. Mom and I weren't sleeping. We were praying because it was dangerous. All right. We have to depend on God. What's better than depending on God? I mean, yeah, we do. Sometimes what does America do? We depend too much on the government. I'm not happy with the way our government's going. I know you're not either. And we got the elections coming up and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? We got to take our eyes off man and realize this whole thing is in God's hands. I remember when Bill Clinton went in office. I thought that was one of the worst things on planet Earth. But you know what? We got through 8 years of Bill Clinton. And whether we want to admit it or not, we got through almost 4 years of Mr. Obama. And if he gets back in office, I got news for you. The Lord will take us through 4 more years. Because it's not the man. It's the God man. He's the one's going to. The simplicity of depending on God, because we don't know. Man does not know his time. Then the last thing, verses 13 through 18 says, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in the quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Now he closes out the chapter and he's using an example. And the example that he's using is a war. There is a city, and the city is about to be attacked by an oncoming army. And the king doesn't know what to do about it. But there's this little poor little man, but he's a man of wisdom. And he is able to articulate a plan that's going to deliver that town, that city, that great massive city. And he says, this is what you do. And if you do what I tell you, you're going to have success. And guess what? According to what Solomon said, they listened to him. When they followed his strategy, they were delivered. The king didn't know how to do it. The wise men under him didn't know how to do it. The prime ministers didn't know how to do it. Whatever. But that one little wise man knew how to do it. But then when it was done, he said, but after it was finished, nobody said anything to the wise man and nobody said thank you. They totally took him for granted. Why? Because he was an uncommon little wise man. He was poor. But he had marvelous common sense. You know what we need today is we need sanctified common sense. And what do I mean by sanctified common sense? I mean we get in the Bible and we read the Bible and we think like the Bible tells us to think. Did you know your thinking is determined based upon what you spend your time with? If you spend your time in that Bible, you'll think the way that Bible shows you. If you like to read secular literature and that's all you like to read, or secular magazines or whatever, you're going to think like the world because it's going to be fed into you, and that's what's going to come out. That's just as plain as it can be. You let somebody eat nothing but pure unhealthy food, guess what kind of physical health they're going to have? But somebody eats the right kind of food and tries to eat healthy, then they may very easily live to be a very prosperous age and be blessed. Whatever you take in is going to come out. Somebody said, poison in, poison out. It's both ways. Put the good in, good comes out. Okay? You people who are addicts to sex, that's what they're going to feed on. Pornography and filth. A person likes to hang around people that use profanity all the time. They're going to use profanity because that's what they're hearing. That's what's going in and that's what's going to come out. And if we spend our time in the Word of God and study the Bible and stay around spiritual things like that, then guess what? Spiritual in, spiritual out. It's not a hard one to figure out. And so that's exactly what you got a wise little man right here. But you know what? Nobody seemed to have enough sense to understand that this man and the connotation that I seem to have here is that this same poor man was a godly man, or else I don't think that Solomon would have brought him to our attention. Verse 16, he said, "Wisdom's better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." Somebody thinks, well, somebody's got power. Somebody has military power. Somebody has physical power. Somebody has political power. That doesn't mean anything. If you've got wisdom, and if it's God's wisdom, God can bring you out of a multitude of things. But you've got to hook into the right thing. But if you hook in the wrong thing, it's always going to be problems. And so, wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom, someone has said rightly, wisdom is looking at things from God's point of view. That's wisdom. Okay? If I look at things, the reason people hate Christians, the reason the Lord, that people don't like us is because we have studied this Bible and we know what this Bible says, and we tell people what this Bible says, and people that don't believe this Bible don't like us because we just tell them what the Bible says. Why doesn't somebody, you know, abortionist, okay? We were talking about earlier the situation about this little child being murdered. Now, I don't think I'd get anybody in here upset, but I could make the news media upset. Because all I'd have to say is this: why are y'all so upset about this one child and you're all going to task and yet nobody's saying anything about abortion? Abortion is just as wrong as what happened to that little child. But the news media are going through a frenzy, feeding like a bunch of sharks on blood, wanting this mother to be crucified. Whether she did it or didn't do it, the law, if you will, has spoken. Leave it alone. The point is, they're having a fit, but the very ones that are having the fit are the very ones that are going to defend abortionists. And understand what I'm saying in the right context. It's whether born or unborn, murder's murder. But people don't like us because what? Verse 17, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools, and wisdom is better than weapons of war. You win the battle if you say the right thing, if you're thinking the right thing, if you are putting forth the right thing. That's what he says. Man who speaks peace, woman that speaks peace, will not have wrath come on them. I tell people a lot of times, you know what people say, well, I don't like so-and-so because all I want to do is fuss and fight. But I tell them this, I say, guess what? It takes two to fuss and fight. If you walk away, there can't be any fussing. I mean, that's just pretty simple. That's not hard to figure out. Three simple things. Simple life. Just the simplest. Enjoy the simplicity of life. Don't be ashamed. You say, boy, I wish I had this big computer. I wish I had this big plasma screen TV or whatever you call those things. Or I wish I had this big entertainment unit. Or I wish I had this brand new, you know, 2011 sports car. I wish. Oh, don't worry about it. You got what you got, thank God for it. And just live simply. Boy, I wish I had a T-bone steak. What you got in the house? Got tomato? Well, enjoy your tomato sandwich. Put a little mayonnaise on it. Praise God. A little pepper, a little salt. Shout it out. What's wrong with that? You can't worry about what you don't got. You know? What do you have? And be thankful. Simple life. Simple life. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Sit out on the porch, fan yourself. It's okay. It's all right. Wrong with that. Don't be ashamed of it. Second thing is dependence on God. Just simply depend on God every day. Lord, help me through the day. End of the day, Lord, I thank you that you helped me. And then you might say, well, I'm glad I had a, you know, I guess I didn't need to pray today because today went so smoothly. Wait a minute. Maybe the day would not have gone smoothly had you not prayed. Simple dependence on God. And then simple wisdom. Simple wisdom. Just seek the Lord. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Word of God, and let the Word of God always be true. Let God's Word be true, and let every man be a liar. You'll do all right. Three simple things. Coming from one of the wisest men and one of the richest men that ever lived, but you couldn't tell it to listen to him. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for your blessings, and we pray, God, that you'll help us to understand the three simple truths of simplicity. And, Lord, I pray your blessings. I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to do the things that are given for us, admonished to us in Scripture, to, Lord, just live a simple life and to live simply and dependently upon God, and then to just have simple wisdom given to us by God. Lord, help us to be satisfied with the things that you bring in our lives. Give us strength. Give us grace. We love you tonight. We thank you for blessing us and being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right,
number 313, Jesus paid it all.
First two verses. We stand.
313.
Sunday.